Let's open up our Bibles at Ephesians chapter 1. You want to follow this on the church Bible, which is found on the end of the rows that you're sitting on. It's page 1173. On these summer Sundays, we've put our series on Hebrews on one side, and we're going through various parts of Scripture, which will really encourage us and lift us up and cause us to rejoice. And this morning is Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3 to 14. Okay, we have an open Bible. Let's pray that we have open hearts. Lord, we ask that as we look at your word now, that you would open our hearts to receive its truth. If there are difficult things here, make it clear to us and plain, we pray. If there are challenging things, help us to respond in the right way. But we know that this passage contains so much encouragement. Then help us to lift up our hearts to the giver of life as we read about your amazing grace. Pour your truth into our hearts and change us for the blessing of your people, the good of the world, and the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Verse 3, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. This is a great passage of Scripture. And if you ask me why I chose it this morning, simply a few reasons. One, I've done a lot of work on Ephesians. So to repeat some of that stuff is no hardship to me, and it's good for you. Second reason is because it's a tremendous chapter of Scripture to encourage us. You know, there's not one command and there's not one challenge in those verses. Not one. It's all encouragement. So simply for our total spiritual enjoyment, let's look at this Scripture this morning. I was going to ask Deborah Stevens to read it through, but she wouldn't know where to stop on this one. For those of you who don't know that, Deborah a while ago memorized Ephesians, and she just memorized and recited it to us. It was wonderful. So for safety and for time, we've kept it to these ones here. These verses here, they are breathtaking. They really are. When you go on holiday and you see a wonderful view, you get your cameras, your phones out, you're taking pictures, and you say, wow, there are some views that take your breath away. Well, here's a passage of Scripture that does exactly the same. It takes your spiritual breath away. These verses, in the NIV, there are 8 sentences and 2 paragraphs. Literally, in the Greek, it's one long sentence without a single full stop. It's like the Apostle Paul has started off writing about our blessings in Christ. He couldn't catch his breath. He couldn't stop his pen. He wouldn't take a breather for a Starbucks. He simply just kept on pouring out all that was in his heart. It's like an excited little child coming home from the pantomime and telling you really quickly what they've seen and what they've done, and don't stop for a breath, and you say, breathe, and they'll tell you again. And that's what Paul is like here. As he's thinking of our spiritual blessings, he's going fast. There's real movement in these verses. He starts off before the creation of the world in verse 4. He moves through time in verse 13, and he launches into eternity in verse 14. The theme of this passage is that here are the blessings we receive through Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. And it's as simple as that this morning. All we're going to look at are the blessings we receive through Jesus Christ for the glory of God. So Paul says in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So how many spiritual blessings do we have here? One or two, three or four, five or six, 100 or more? Every spiritual blessing, the whole lot, every. The word there in the Greek for every is where we get our word pan from, which means all and every. So a pandemic is when the disease is everywhere. It's all over the place. Pan blessings are when you've got blessings everywhere. And that's what this passage is. It's a pan blessing passage. John chapter 1, verse 14. We read that from God's abundance we have received one gracious blessing after another. One after another. What's the nature of these blessings? In verse 3, we read that they are spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing. Spiritual. Means that they're not necessarily physical blessings. In the Old Testament, God's blessings could be measured in a very physical way, with the land, with wealth, health, prosperity, children, and length of life. It's not like that in the New Testament. Things take a step up, and rather than being physical, it becomes spiritual. These days, God, yes, may well bless us physically, I wouldn't deny that. But our acceptance with God is today not measured by our health, wealth, or possessions. They are spiritual blessings. And spiritual blessings means blessings that come to us through the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and blessings that touch our souls and change our souls and do good to our hearts. And because these are spiritual blessings, it means that they can come to us no matter what our social condition, our financial condition. Doesn't matter if we're rich or poor, ill or healthy, rejoicing or weeping. When it comes to spiritual blessings, those things are irrelevant. They are for all God's people in all the ages, no matter what condition physically or socially they find themselves in. This is for you, and this is for me. Let's ask three questions then about this. We know how many blessings there are, and we know the nature of the blessings. Let's ask, first of all, what are these blessings? Well, it's like Paul has written down a spiritual spreadsheet here. He's put it all for us to see at a glance. And he itemizes them, and there are a few that he mentions. Verse 4, there is the blessing of election. Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God chose us. Now, I know that some Christians will turn that whole doctrine of election into a battleground. And that's such a shame, because God never revealed that doctrine for us to fight over. Rather, he revealed it for us to put our hands over our mouths and be silent and say, wow. God chose us. In his sovereignty, he chose us for salvation. And it's a good job, because we would never choose him. We would choose all kinds of other things. We would choose sinful things. We would choose idols. We'd never choose God. So thank God that he chose us. And the timing is remarkable as well. He chose us before the creation of the world, before we were born, before anything was, he chose us. So it wasn't that he saw that you and I were doing some fairly good things and I think, oh, I'll have him and I'll have her. We had done nothing. We weren't even born. He chose us before the creation of the world. Why did he do that? For us to argue about the doctrine. No, he chose us at the end there of verse 4 to be holy, in the middle of verse 4, to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's why he chose us. He chose us for a beautiful reason, that we might be holy and blameless. We're chosen to be something absolutely beautiful for God. Here's our first blessing that we received. We're chosen in Christ for his glory. The second blessing that Paul itemizes is in verse 5, and that's adoption. Verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So again, they've got this whole thing about predestination, which does my head in when I try to think about that. But I know, again, it's for a good purpose. God here is planning out our path that we would be adopted to be his children. And that blessing of adoption, which is a tremendous thing, adoption, that blessing then changes our name, our status, and our father. It puts us in the family of God. And being adopted into the family of God and being able to call God Abba Father is because of a choice that God made. Again, you see, we are predestined to the adoption of sonship. It's a choice that God made. There are no accidental adoptions. There are no unplanned adoptions. Someone decides to bring another person into their family by choice. Adoption is always deliberate. And here God has chosen us to be his children. And it's always in love, because we read here in verse 5 that in love he predestined us. I'm getting very loud here. Something happening? No, it's just me. Okay. It's my aura. Okay. It's in love. And again, nobody adopts out of hatred. Always the person is adopted for a good reason. And it says here that God really enjoys adopting us. Again, you see it in verse 5. It's for his pleasure, or in accordance with his pleasure and will. Have you ever thought about God having pleasure? What gives God pleasure? What gives God pleasure is adopting people into his family. That's why Jesus said that when somebody is saved, the angels in heaven throw a praise party. They rejoice. So here's another one of our blessings. We are in the family of God. And God loves it that we're in there. The third blessing mentioned here is one of grace. And that's verse 6. Verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So this is all for the praise of God's grace, and that grace is freely given to us, and it's given to us in Christ. Grace is a gift, and it's given freely. And we can understand the word grace here as favor. Favor. So when, let's say, a more senior person looks upon a younger person, or a richer person looks upon a poorer person, certainly true in the Old Testament, and shows them favor. It's grace. So here was Ruth, the Moabitess, in the fields of Boaz, the rich land ruler. And Boaz had wealth, he had everything. And he noticed Ruth. And she was simply gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And everyone else would overlook this Moabitess, but not Boaz. He looks upon her and he shows her favor. And Ruth actually says, "Who am I that my Lord should so show such grace, favor to me?" And we say the same, don't we? Who are we that the king should live and die for? Who are we that God should show us such favor? But it's a blessing. It can't be earned by us, but it's given freely by God, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Election, adoption, grace. It's a fourth blessing here. It's redemption, verse 7. It really is a whistle-stop tour of blessings. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. Now, redemption is a word we've come across quite often in the scriptures, and we know what it means, hopefully, to buy back by paying the price. So somebody is a hostage, they can't free themselves, somebody got to pay the hostage price, then that person is set free. That's us. We're hostage to sin. Sin is our master. We can't break free. Jesus has paid the price of sin by his death upon the cross. We're set free by the payment of the price of Jesus. And that price is amazing. It's through his blood, verse 7 says. Through his blood. And the word blood in scripture is so often used as a kind of a shorthand for sacrifice. Jesus gave his blood. He shed his blood that we might be redeemed. And what does that lead to in verse 7? The forgiveness of sins. These are blessings. They're just cascading down upon us here this morning. And I know it's hard for us to take it all in. Hopefully our mind is going boom, boom, boom as we think about these things, one after the other. But there's more. The blessing of Revelation, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So when it says there in verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will, that's revelation. For in the Bible, the idea of mystery is not something that you can find out if you're clever enough and a good detective. The idea of mystery is that you can never find it out unless God tells you about it. So the mystery of God is unfolded, and the mystery of God is revealed to us. He made known to us the mystery of his will. So we are in the know. We know what God is doing. And what is God doing? Well, you've got there in verse 10, exactly what he's doing. He's bringing all things in unity in heaven and on earth. That's what God is doing right now. It might seem that the world is out of control, but God is doing something. It might seem that we can make no sense of anything on planet Earth, and at times it is very peculiar. But God's long-term plan is he's doing something. He's bringing all things together in heaven and on earth. He's bringing people back to himself, people in reconciliation with people. He's bringing people in reconciliation to themselves. And he's bringing people in reconciliation to the environment and creation. And one day, glory will consist of those four things perfectly. It's what God is doing. We can make sense of what God is doing. We can see and we can say, I don't know why that happened, but I know the long-term plan of God. There is also the blessing of being in Christ. It's verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This verse tells us a number of things. We are in Christ. What does that mean, to be in Christ? Well, to be in Christ, it means that we're in the things that are happening through Jesus. So a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of going with my son-in-law to the Euro 2016 Championships in Paris. He'd got some tickets, and we were going up to the stadium there in the north of Paris, and there were thousands and thousands of people there, and many of them were without tickets. But we had tickets, and we joined the long queues, and I was searched, and Paolo was searched dozens of times because he looked suspicious. He was searched as well. And eventually we got in, and we got into the ground. There were still loads outside without tickets. They were outside. But we were in. We were in the stadium. We were part of everything that was happening. We saw Italy against Spain. It was a great match. The greatest ones of the championships. Iceland, England in the evening. That really never happened. Italy, Spain. It was a great match. We were in there. The crowd were having great fun. Wonderful atmosphere. We were in We were part of everything taking place in the stadium. The rest outside, we're not. We're in Christ. That means we are part of everything that's taking place in Christ. All that he is doing. We are part of God's plan, God's redemption plan. We're in Christ. That is a very much underestimated blessing, to be in Christ. But it's one of the greatest blessings in him. There's the blessing of assurance as well there in the second part of verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The seal in first century and still today as well, it marks authenticity. So if the signet ring was put down on the wax before it had hardened, it was the seal. This is true. This is authentic. Today, maybe you buy something, you're wondering whether or not it's real, and you say, you see a little sign, this is a genuine Apple product. So you know you're okay. The seal marks authenticity. So in the Spirit in our lives, he assures us that we're the real thing, that we're Christians, that we're adopted. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That is a blessing to have assurance. The final blessing that's mentioned down here is in verse 14, which is the blessing of our inheritance, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. The inheritance. Just try to imagine your inheritance. Not your earthly inheritance now that your grandparents, your parents may have left you. I mean, that's a great thing. But the inheritance of God's children, the inheritance our Father in heaven has given to us, we will experience that in glory forever. These are the blessings we have received. Every spiritual blessing, we've mentioned eight of them. Election, adoption, grace, redemption, revelation, being in Christ, assurance, and inheritance. These are our spiritual blessings. How do we receive them? How do we receive them? Well, notice the central place of Jesus in all these blessings. He's mentioned here again and again. The end of verse 3, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Middle of verse 5, through Jesus Christ. The end of verse 6, in the one he loves. The end of verse 9, in Christ. The beginning of verse 11, in him. Towards the end of verse 12, in Christ. Towards the beginning of verse 13, in Christ. Again and again, all these blessings are ours only in Christ. It's as if all other things on the screen of Ephesians 1 dissolve and Jesus zooms to the center in some wonderful heavenly PowerPoint display. Boom! He's right at the center. All God's blessings come through Jesus. You know, there are some people that say that salvation is found in other religions apart from Jesus. Well, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that can't be true, can it? Because Jesus is the only high priest and the only mediator between God and people. And the blessings are only in Christ. All the blessings we've itemized are only in Christ. That's why we need to tell others about Jesus. That's why we need missionaries and evangelists to tell others about Jesus, because people only get these things in him. And Jesus has purchased them for us. We haven't bought them for ourselves. He has purchased them, remember verse 7, through his blood. By shedding his blood, he paid the price to get these blessings for us. It's not that we have some kind of spiritual Amazon basket, clicking on them and adding them to the checkout and then downloading them for ourselves. It's rather that Jesus has purchased them and he gives them freely. And freely we've received and freely we give. And they're all through Christ. He is absolutely essential. He is key. If you discard Jesus, there are no blessings. In him, there's every spiritual blessing. Hence, if we want these blessings, we've got to seek Christ. We don't seek forgiveness. We don't seek new life. We don't seek the Spirit. We don't seek joy. We don't seek peace. We don't seek the inheritance. We seek Christ. And once you've got Christ, you've got everything. It's all in Him. I know some Christians get hung up, don't they, about, oh, I'm really seeking the blessing of the Spirit for this. I'm really seeking joy and peace in my life. Well, great, but you're looking in the wrong place. If you're chasing the blessing, you'll always be chasing it. Look for Jesus. And when you've found Jesus and when you know more of Him, you do get more blessing and more peace and more joy. They're all in Christ. One Christian writer put it this way. Seek Christ, embrace Christ, know Christ, and you have touched Him who is life. And in Him resides all truth, values, virtues, and gifts in living color. Seek Christ. Well, finally, we've seen what these blessings are. We've seen how we receive them through Jesus. Finally, why? Why do we receive these blessings? Well, they are all for the glory of God. Three times in this one long sentence, the Apostle Paul repeats that they're to the praise of the glory of his grace. The end of verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. The end of verse 12, for the praise of his glory. The end of verse 14, to the praise of his glory. So those blessings we receive, they are not an end in themselves. They are so that we might glorify God. Every spiritual blessing comes to us that we might give thanks to God so that He is glorified. Our blessings do not stop with ourselves. They are to bounce back in praise to God. You know, whenever I get the opportunity to read to you this quote from C.S. Lewis about praise, I do. So you've heard it a few times. It's in his book, Reflections on the Psalms, which it's actually got some strange chapters in it, but most of it's good. Anyway, who am I? Say that about C.S. Lewis. Okay. All right, this is what he says about praise. He was trying to work out, is praise a selfish thing? And then he says this, the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of praise in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honour. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. So the world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses. You wrote this in the 40s, okay? That translates to something else today, I'm sure. Readers praise their favourite poets. Walkers praise the countryside. Players praise their favourite game. People praise the weather, wines, dishes, actors, cars, horses, colleges, countries, historical people, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars. But I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced and capacious minds praised most, while the cranks and the misfits and the malcontents praised least. Praise is inner health made audible. You see what he's saying there? That when you really enjoy something, you say, wow, this is great, and you want to share it with other people. And we do that with all kinds of things in life. Well, you've really got to go and see that. Why? It's great. You're praising it. How much more with our God? When we receive these spiritual blessings, when they come to us and we say, wow, that's great, who do we thank? Thank God. Because He alone has given them to us. So we have to be focused on God. These blessings, then, do not make us focus upon ourselves. They change our focus or the direction of our look to God. So we thank God for election. We thank God for adoption and all the others. We praise God for them. And when we lift our eyes to God and see where these blessings come from and what they are for, we will praise him and be lifted from any complacency we might have, from any despair that we might have, and we praise him. See, this whole sentence begins and ends with praise. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, to the praise of his glory. They're all for God's glory. We receive every spiritual blessing. We receive